You want to tune in tonight, this more into Sunday night rather, into Monday morning, when George Knapp sits in the big air chair here at Coast to Coast AM in the first half, drawing on 30 years of his own influential research as well as evolutionary biology and game theory. Cognitive scientist Donald Hoffman joins George Knapp to make the mind-bending yet convincing case that the world is nothing like what we see through our eyes. And then, in the second half, 30 years ago, ufology pioneer Jacques Vallée met Juan Perez when he was a young boy after having a close encounter with an entity from somewhere else. Filmmaker Alan Stivelman, moved by the story of Perez, decided to investigate more about the event, and Vallée and Stivelman discuss this extraordinary case and what it was like for Vallée to meet Perez again 30 years later. That's Sunday night into Monday morning on Coast to Coast AM with George Knapp. All right, now, the photograph of the object we were all attempting to remote view has now been posted to the website coasttocoastam.com. And that's in the highlight carousel. And there it is, my word. It is a silver metallic looking airplane with three props. And wow. Well, I'll discuss more on the other side when we get Douglas James Cottrell back on. Stay with us right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, Douglas, I got to be honest with you. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I'm looking at this photograph that Greg Bishop, our webmaster, has posted on the highlight carousel under the heading Douglas Cottrell Remote Viewing Experiment Images. That just went up moments ago, and there it is, a silver metallic airplane. And that's what I said, pretty much, isn't it?
Yeah, and you kept going on about the arch like St. Louis, and you can see the arch, the stand that the plane is standing on is half of an arch. And so you kept going back to that. And as I sent him also a picture on my website with the salmon color on the screen, which the object was just a few inches away from. And I think that's where you first started out with the color. But then you migrated over to the metallic color. You saw it shiny. I think you said stainless steel. Some of the callers were picking up the details. And as you can see, if you look directly at the center prop of this model airplane, if it was inverted or if it was standing on its end, it would look like a helicopter.
Right.
So all of those people picked up something. Even that fellow, I think over Boston way, that said he had a tea kettle. It kind of looks like a kettle, but there's the bubble in the center that the husband and wife saw as a globe or as a balloon. They were looking up right close. And this is the thing about how you said a few times, you're going to back off now, and you backed off now. And that's something that I taught you in a previous show. When you're up close and you can't quite distinguish what it is, you back away. And when I do my course, and I have a course coming up in January in Texas, and people can go to my website, douglasjamescottrell.com, and check that out. We talk about that, on how to look at the perspective, how to let things manifest. And if you listen back to the show, you will hear yourself doing exactly that. You were going around the object in different perspectives. You were backing away, and you were allowing it to manifest. And because I know what remote viewing or clairvoyance is, I can very quickly, in the space of half an hour, teach the audience and/or yourself on how to do this in a way that the intellectual mind can accept. Because the biggest problem is the intellectual mind saying, I can't do this. That object is miles away. How can I see it? But not only did you see the object in great detail and great perspective, you actually saw my website with that salmon color in there. Sorry to go back to it like that. But you did exceptionally well. Anybody listening to the show tonight, when they see those pictures on the website, I think I sent the producer 4 or 5 different perspectives of it, so the people in the audience who go and look at it from the different perspectives, they're going to go like, "Wow, the watchmaker guy, I'll just spin that prop. It looks like a watch, from a certain perspective."
Oh, like the hands on a watch. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. Now,
It's
in terms
great
of
detail, but they're picking up object, which is number one. If you pick something up, then we can I can teach you how to expand on that. Go ahead.
All right. So Pamela, who called in, she mentioned the helicopter. And if you see that, you mentioned that the main prop, certainly that looks like the prop of a helicopter. So I'm going to be a little presumptuous here, and I'm going to award her, because I can't award it to myself, I'm going to award her a copy of your book, Secrets of Life, and I'll send you out her her mailing address. And Pamela, look for that book in the mail. In the meantime, my gosh, I'm thinking maybe I need to consider...
Coming and taking the course. Absolutely.
Coming and taking the course and developing this further. I mean, you know, the first time we did this experiment, and I was sort of getting a lot of hits on the travel clock. I thought, okay, well, maybe that's beginner's luck. Mm-hmm. And then the last time we did this experiment on Coast, again, I had quite a few hits. I didn't nail it, but this time, my word, I've given myself a great deal of hope here.
Well, again, you've been a good student. We're doing this on air. There are thousands of people listening to the show, and all of those minds are coming and looking at this object. And there are people, you know, debating, is this, you know, baloney, or does it really happen? But it takes a development of time. And what you did tonight, if people pay attention to how you assess the object, you did exactly the steps that I teach at my course. And by teaching my course, it's a broad course. We talk about remote viewing, mind projection. We talk about dream interpretation and how to enter into a deep state of meditation to be another Edgar Cayce, Ross Peterson, Paul Solomon, or Douglas Cottrell. So I've been doing this for 45 years. I'm pretty good at it. And some of the students who've taken the course in Texas last time had been around, so we saw. They've taken all the courses from the who's who. And when they took my course, it made sense, because we use the intellect, we use the intuition. We trick the intellect into allowing it to see with the mind's eye, as you did so appropriately tonight. You're excellent.
All right. Now, I want to move on. And I want to talk about, this is another area that you are quite skilled in, and this is as a medical intuitive. So when you are able to remote view an object, is that what medical intuitiveness is? You're actually remote viewing a person's insides?
Well, I use the term quantum meditation. It used to be called deep trance meditation, which is what Edgar Cayce and Ross Peterson called it. It's a combination of remote viewing and clairvoyance. Remote viewing means traveling to some place and looking around. Mind projection means pushing your mind forward, so you become a disembodied vision or mind. And clairvoyance is being able to move backwards and forwards in time. So a combination of those things. But to simplify it, it's that I teach the students how to go to an object, a person, allow that person's image to manifest, then a certain step procedure on how to actually look into the body. And I'm very well known for my ability to pinpoint what is troubling a person when nobody else can. And I'm not bragging, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. There was a man in Uxbridge in Ontario who had severe problems, and he called me to his house. I went there because he was a VIP, and I said to him, and once I laid down and went through this meditation and was allowing my mind to be free, projecting my mind into his body, and I was actually looking at his kidney and the arteries into his kidneys, I could see that they were blocked. And that was my, I don't want to say diagnosis, because it's not a diagnosis, it is a vision, it's a psychic impression or vision, the same as you saw the airplane. And the next day, the man went to the Mayo Clinic and had microscopic surgery, and it saved his life. Nobody could see that that was the problem. I was able to see it very clearly, very simply. And because it was such a rare disease, it wasn't on the radar, if you will, of the top surgeons. So this ability to being able to see inside a person's body, the term medical intuitive has been bantied around, and I have to say there are a lot of people who call themselves that, but they are not. And there are people who are very good at it, and they call themselves different names. It doesn't matter what technique they call themselves or what they say. But the ability to pinpoint a problem in the body is what I teach people how to do. Plus, if you have a question, you want to know the truth about something, you can go through time and see backwards or forwards and find the truth. You can also, I've been on your shows before, and I've predicted there's going to be a stock market crash the next day and the next week. And you said, when is it going to be? And I said, the next day. And Monday morning, the stock market crashed. If you have an interest in those areas, you can see things. On my website, there are books. And by the way, my sons text me. I'm going to put a 50% off on The Secrets of Life and also Conversations with the Akashic Field. If anybody feels like they did well tonight, they're going to get a 50% discount on those books, douglasjamescottrell.com. Thank you, son, for doing that. If you have an interest in seeing what you can do in time, on my Blog Talk radio show, there is I think my son has put on the website, a lady in Alberta, Canada, wanted to know about her nephew who was missing in Colorado and called my show. And live on air, I said, I'm sorry, he's drowned. And I'm sorry about that. And she said, when is he going to be found? And I described him being nude, laying on the opposite side from where he was reported to have been in a fast-moving creek or creek and or river, for that matter. And that two men with what I thought was carrying something over their shoulder, like rifles or fishing rods, would be able high enough to see him. She called back a month later and said that's exactly what happened. After the authorities had given up searching for him, two fishermen came along on the upper bank, looked across the river or creek, and found his body. His shorts were down around his ankles, but the rest of him was nude. He wasn't decomposed, and I had said that before. He's not black, so he's going to find him soon. It was 2 weeks after the call. Now, the steps in that is I was able to see that the man was now drowned, that he was in a position face down, and the two people were going to find the body, being up high on one side of the riverbank, looking down to find him. And that happened 2 weeks later than what I was describing. So we have the movement through time, which is clairvoyance. We have the remote viewing, which is me looking down upon the scene. And then we have, like the medical intuitive, seeing exactly the detail of what happened. That can be taught the same as you were looking at this airplane tonight, but it takes certain steps to go through that, and that's what I do on my course in Texas. And this might be the last one. I'm approaching 70. My partner at Pizza del Campo has texted me and said he's going to give a 25% discount to people if they text 82823-PIZZA, 82823-PIZZA, and we're opening up this pizza place next month, so 25% off or something like that. So that's where I'm going to go. And he's a wonderful guy, and he lets me use his second floor of his restaurant. And it's Many Mansions Spiritual Center, Fort Worth, that we teach the course. Anybody who thinks that they have a smidgen of ability and they want to progress, if they feel this need inside to develop this, this is what they're going to get. Go to my website, douglasjamescottrell.com, and you'll see there is a long list of abilities and talents that we're going to discuss and teach at one-on-one in a small class setting. I can teach people like I did you, Richard. You've done, you're a star pupil. I mean, you can't not say to yourself now, you convinced yourself, you're over that intellectual hump that says, I saw the airplane. It was
right
there.
Right. And you saw it. You're so right. The key is whatever comes into your mind, go with that.
But that's I am
walking on air. I have to be honest. I'm walking on air. Now, what I'd like to do is when we're coming up on a break here at the bottom of the hour, in just a few moments, we'll open up the phones, and can we do some medical intuitive work for our callers if they call in?
They don't have to have a medical condition. They can just ask questions of whatever they like. But sure, it's your show, whatever you like.
So if they have, we'll offer the medical disclaimer here. Please, Douglas is not a medical physician. Please consult your your doctor, your healthcare provider.
Right.
But if someone calls in with, let's say they have some undiagnosed issue, and you can peer inside their body and maybe point them in one possible direction. Is that?
Well, I'll go this to say it's an impression. It's not a diagnosis.
No.
Whatever we give them, I'm not a medical authority or a financial authority, so whatever we give them is for informational value only. And this is what I'm known for. I tell people in a reading, in a meditative state, psychically, clairvoyantly, what I see as their problem. They then go and they have it verified by a real medical professional, depending if they're a chiropractor or somebody who deals with autistic children or somebody that needs surgery, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm able to pinpoint where the source of the pain, problem, or difficulty is. And that sometimes, you know, is like a bird dog gives the physician the inside track, and then they verify it, and then the person gets better.
Right. Now, when Casey did this, Edgar Casey, and he did so many of these medical-type readings, he was in a trance. A trance meditative state. Do you work that way as well?
Yes. Trance is just means in a self-hypnotic state. The word trance means in an altered state of consciousness beyond conscious control. And I call that quantum meditation, which is a special breathing technique we teach the students. We then go through a mental process. We then teach them what to look for consciously, so that when they're in a light meditative state, an alpha state, that they're not afraid that they're going to fall out of their body and never come back. And we progress through that so they can convince themselves to kick the doubt out and just to tell me what they see. So in a trance state or in a light meditative state that leads to a deeper and deeper detachment, so that your conscious self is kind of, you know, out of the picture, and your super subconscious self, the soul mind, is able to communicate. And that's what it is. It's being in a trance, which means putting the body to sleep. It's like talking in your sleep, only being able to respond to questions.
But for the purpose of tonight, this morning, when people call in, obviously you're not going to be putting yourself in a trance, are you?
Well, after 45 years, it's kind of like a car mechanic. He could be carrying on a conversation and changing a tire at the same time. So I have two minds. I have that conscious mind, and then I have that other mind that goes from premonition, precognition, to clairvoyance, to remote viewing. When I was doing that, when I found that young man who was 35 years old who had drowned in the Colorado River, I was conducting a radio show. I was awake, and I was talking to the person as I'm about to do to your guest.
Amazing.
You don't need to be in a deep trance meditation, but it helps to get your mind and your chakras, your pineal and pituitary glands working, so that you have that psychic center working, so that you don't need to go into a deep state of meditation or relaxation. But you do shift. When I talk to people, I become a little spacey, and I say things sometimes, and I always warn people in advance, if you ask me a question, and if I say something is embarrassing, it's your fault, not mine.
That's a nice out. Can I use that?
Pardon?
I say, that's a nice out. Maybe I can use that the next time I say something embarrassing.
Well, I have, you know, when people ask a question, they say, you know, is my best friend stealing money out of the cash register? And I go, yeah, with his left hand, because I'm watching it. I watch people, I watch their dreams as they're talking to me, and I can correct their dreams, or I can. A man called me today, and he said, I saw a big, tall figure with a big hat jump out in front of me like a ghost. I said, no, it wasn't a ghost. It was Abraham Lincoln.
Wow. Listen, I've got to jump in here, Douglas. We're going to take a break. Come back. We'll open up the phone lines, questions, comments, medical issues for the medical intuitive healer, remote viewer, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, the Eagles, Witchy Woman, into the break on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett. S-Y, because I love you, R-E-T-T. Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, Canada's Edgar Casey, the man with X-ray eyes. He stays with us. And we will open up the phone lines if you have questions, comments. Perhaps you have a medical issue. He is a medical intuitive, and he can essentially peer inside your body and perhaps point you in one possible direction. He's not going to make diagnosis or a diagnosis. He is not a healthcare professional. And as always, we ask you to consult your own healthcare professional. All right, we'll do that. That's just ahead, right here on Coast to Coast AM. So, Douglas, what I'm wondering is how big a move is it to be able to remote view an object in real time? So, for example, I remote viewed the silver airplane on your desk, and you're located, 150 miles from where I'm sitting. Is it a big move to go from that to being able to remote view future events?
Well, again, it's a matter of being able to be trained or mentored to get past that self-imposed doubt and get into the ever-present moment to be able to, as we talked about the parameters on how to view the object, as I gave some hints, or not, I didn't really hints, I gave some parameters because I try not to say what it is. So once the conscious mind is geared towards some expectation, then the middle mind, the shamati mind, that mind that it just waits to help or be of service, or if you don't ask it a question, it won't do anything. It just is there. When we tap into that middle mind, then it doesn't matter. There is no time. There is no space. We're in the ever-present moment. And so being able to see people, and I have been able to see people at their desk, or when people are talking to me in California and I'm in Texas or I'm in New York, and they say something to me and I'll say, hey, that's a nice shirt you're wearing. They go, oh my God, how do you know that? And I say, well, I see you. You're wearing this yellow sort of blah, 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 and I'll describe it. I was in, did a session for a lady in Ireland, and they had a child and they had a light in the room, and it was a red light because the child was sort of a special child, mentally challenged. And I said, the blue light would be better. And the mother, I went through the description of what was going on with the child as far as their abilities and capabilities were. But at the end of it, the thing that impressed her was that they had put puppies in the room, and they had this light in the room so that nobody would step on the puppies. And I had said, you know, the red light was okay, but the blue light would be better. And the woman remarked, my God, he's been here in my house, and I didn't even clean it up. And she was in Ireland, and I'm in North America. So it's kind of like there is no time. So it's not much of a leap for what you did on the airplane to go into the markets to see what's going to happen. The thing that stops people from making money on the markets, although I did very well back in 79 or and with my partner, is that greed sort of gets in there, and you start to get nervous, which takes you off center, takes you away from being comfortable, and almost, as I teach people to be sort of distancing themselves from it, you're disconnected in certain ways of doing breathing and other things that I teach people. But once you're in that sort of could be right, could be wrong attitude, you can come up with startling things. You can look into people's bodies. You can look into their life. You can, once a man was having a problem, and I said, well, you drink wine at work. And nobody knew that but him. And he started to cry. When I was in Poland, there was a man, they were going to take his heart. He was scheduled for a heart transplant. While I was talking, while the interpreter and his wife were talking, I got up, went behind him, and I noticed that the bones, I was intuitively drawn there, that the bones between his shoulder blades were stuck out. So I put my hand in there, and I sent some energy, and I pushed the bones, the vertebrae, they went back in place. And all of a sudden, this giant of a man who was 6'6" tall could breathe again, because he could hardly breathe as if he was 80 years old. And he took another breath and another breath. For the first time in years, he's breathing normally, all because his back was out. But the diagnosis was that he had a heart problem, heart and lungs, and they were going to take his heart out. So being able to pinpoint and then do something about it, like Edgar Casey, not only could he see things in people, he could see remedies and procedures and even surgical procedures that would be far ahead in time. But if the physicians followed them, and or they followed where he pinpointed the problem, and they did their own diagnosis and work, people recovered. I mean, that's the secret. That's the ability to go through time, not to get the intellect, not to worry about time and space.
Right. I was thinking just as, because I'm anxious now to try and practice this. I was thinking, okay, so let's say I know that on Tuesday I'm going to the bank. So before I go to the bank, I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'll try to imagine who might be at the bank. Not someone I know, but what might they look like? Okay, so maybe it's a woman wearing a hat or something. Those sorts of little things.
Yeah, that's exactly how I teach people to do that. And we do at the course, and it's coming up January, in January, let's see, 17 to the 25, I'll be doing that. We'll be teaching people how to look out the window and how to perceive what's going to happen. And I do that all the time. I especially do it when I'm about to board an airplane. I look forward in time and see how the airplane is going to land. One time I startled myself when I saw it was all dark, water was going up all over the place, and I was going, oh my God, you know, what's going on? I had forgotten that I was getting on a flight in the daytime and I was going to arrive in an airport that was at nighttime. What I didn't know is there was going to be a huge thunderstorm that just went through, and when the plane landed, the front wheel, the oleo, was throwing up water past the window where I was sitting in front of the wing, and that was the image I saw before I boarded the plane.
Yeah, you might want to think about maybe just parking your remote viewing skills once you get on the plane. Otherwise, you're going to give yourself a panic attack or something.
No, it works. I was in Amsterdam, and some people had to deplane. Actually, they held the plane up, and the captain was standing in the door. He says, it's going to take 14 minutes. There are some people who haven't boarded, and they were calling their name out, and they were Middle Eastern names. And they said, we're going to have to go through the baggage because they put the baggage on first. My first instinct was just to get off that plane and run. So then I went and I looked through the baggage, and I could see that they were finding the bags and that everything, I was going to be okay. I could see the airplane landing. So in that crisis situation, keeping calm, I was able to see what was going on right away and also to perceive what was going to happen. And that's
all right.
What we teach people to do, just like you did with the airplane tonight.
All right, let's take some calls. Wildcard Line Cadillac Joe is in Exeter, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Joe. Welcome to Coast.
Hi, happy Sunday, fellas. It's really good to talk to you. Mr. Serrett, I just want to tell you how much I enjoy your shows. You're never boring. You're always interesting. And your sincerity and politeness to people that call in really comes through. And
thank you for that.
Appreciate it.
God
bless them, their call up might have them, mental problems, but you handle them delicately. And I think that's really nice, you know.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Dr. Cottrell, I have a lot of medical problems, but nothing fatal. But as I woke up this morning, about 11 this morning, Eastern Standard Time, a voice in my head said 6 months to live. Now, can you infer anything about maybe an accident or cancer, a heart attack, something unforeseen?
The only thing I see is fluid at your heart, and maybe you already have some sort of lymphatic drainage problem or some your legs are.
Yes, I do. I have lymphedema problems for the last 25 years.
Okay. So I would, that voice sometimes, if they tell you it's a fact, in other words, it's your time, but if they tell you, then that's a warning, and that means, hey, pay attention so that you in 6 months, that's going to be a crisis time, but you've got 6 months to avoid it. So I'm just looking at the fluid in your body and that somehow either a lymphatic massage or somebody that's going to help drain the body, watch the fluid in your heart area or your body.
I went to a lymphedema clinic for lengthy periods of time, 3 times, but the last time I got a blood clot in my leg, and I can't do that anymore. I can't get the wraps and wear the compression stockings, you know?
So, okay. It's called Live Relief, L-I-V Relief, and there is it's a special cream that affects pain in the hand, but they also have a cream that does for varicose veins and nerve problems. I would recommend that. Comes to my mind right away.
All right, Joe. Great. Good luck with that, my friend. Thank you for calling in. Let's say hi to East of the Rockies in Shekelstown, Pennsylvania. Greg, good morning. Welcome.
Hi, Richard Douglas. Thanks for having me. I'll make my questions quick. One, Douglas, do you believe the government employs remote viewers? And two,
yes,
I want to possibly see if there are any undiagnosed health problems I might have.
The government does. They hire people. I've worked for our Defense Department. I've worked for the transport safety people and the crash, the Marine crash in Gander, and also Air India crash and things like that. I don't like to do that, but yes, people who are in positions of authority, they take information from wherever they can get it, and the more credible the source, the more they use that source. I get my attention is drawn to your neck, and you're pointing to the neck on the left side, and then I see you moving your neck around, and then your fingers look like they're getting swollen and you're squeezing your hand. So I'm going to say you have some either radiant pain going down from your shoulders to your hands, or you're getting some sort of arthritis in your hands, but you need some chiropractic adjustment in your neck. How's your headache? You got headaches in your left side of your head?
I've been getting migraines recently, yeah.
Okay. That's because of the neck. There is also this oil. It's called woodlock oil, woodlock oil. And this comes from my friend Les over in Rhode Island way. He's come up with this. A few drops of this behind the ear and that little space around your neck where your neck meets your skull. There's a little depression. Two or three drops there on either side helps to stimulate. There is a sinus in the back of your head, and that dorsal sinus, I think, is what the name is. I'm not medically trained. According to Les, this is what's causing migraines. And what I'm seeing is the neck's out, and this is what's causing the headaches plus this tingling or swelling in your hands. But
all right.
Woodlock oil that comes to my mind is something you can use to help relieve that.
Greg, good luck with that, and thank you. Douglas, I've known you 25 years or more, and you never cease to amaze me. You're two for two here. Let's say hi to first-time caller Sean is in London, Ontario. Sean, welcome to Coast.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, thank you.
Sean, you're up late.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I had a guest earlier in here. I got cut off, and that was disappointing. I was going to guess like a fist of a statue, and when I seen the picture, it turned out pretty well. But my question was, I'm going to be trying to donate my kidney to my wife in the near future, and I was going to see if you had any insight on that.
She's okay. She looks to me as she's just swelling up like a balloon. And,
she's been on dialysis for over a year now. She's doing a lot better. But, I mean, on my part, is my kidney okay to donate?
I would tell you to do something else, like lift weights, take protein, build up the strength, because the kidney looks tiny or small.
Oh, okay.
So that just means to me it's undersized or small. It needs to be built up or get bigger.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks for taking my call.
All right, Sean, all the best, and I hope everything works out for you and your wife. God bless. Thank you for that. Let's say hi to Frank in Fillmore, California. Good morning.
Long-time listener. First-time caller. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome,
yeah,
Frank.
I'm having some stomach problems. I've been going off about a month or so, and I'm getting concerned about it. I was wondering what you could tell me.
He's got some stomach problems.
Yeah, it looks like you've got a hiatus hernia. I see your stomach pushed up higher. And, it just looks like it's pushed up higher. I'm looking again, looks like it's pushed up higher. And I would think it's not leaky gut syndrome. It's not an ulcer, but it looks like there's pressure pushing your stomach up. It might be from your colon. Are you constipated?
Yeah.
That's the problem, okay? It's pushing your stomach up. So go have a colonic, have several enemas, one after the other, two or three, and get that out. Take some pears or take some olive oil from the spoon and get that colon cleaned out, and that's going to take the pressure off your stomach.
All right, Frank, you take care of that, and thank you for calling in. Let's say hi to Arlene is in Alberta. Hello, Arlene. Good morning, and welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hello, Dr. Cottrell. Are you able to do, because I have a goiter, so my doctor said that just leave it as that, but I'm not sure where to go, how to go about it.
I see somebody massaging your neck with fingers. The fingers are dancing on your neck. So I'm going to say you need somebody who does lymphatic massage or edema massage to get rid of the fluid in your throat. This little dancing on your neck is what it starts to move the fluid that builds up in your neck. I would immediately tell you to take more iodine, too. I see a little bottle of iodine right beside you.
Yes. I'm taking it right now for a month, so I should continue taking that, I guess.
Yes, ma'am. That's what I see.
All right, Arlene, good luck with that. Thank you for calling in. All right, Douglas, again, we have the remote viewing course coming up in Texas in January. Can you give us the details again?
Yeah, it's January 17th to the 25th. It's my friend Raul it's pizzadelcampo.com is our new venture there. It's on Seminary Drive in Fort Worth. The Best Western is giving us a discount on hotels. Lunch and dinner are included because you're in the most amazing restaurant in the world. And he wants to give everybody a big discount for next month. 82823 Pizza is where he's going. And I have a personal request. I know Thanksgiving is coming up, and it's a time when everybody should remember the reason that North America has Thanksgiving, and that is because of the tyranny and difficulty that our ancestors left Europe and came to North America. We avoided religious persecution, and we came, my ancestors, including my great-grandfathers, to this wonderful country, North America. In Canada, my church, Many Mansions Spiritual Center, is still facing some difficulty, and the Canadian government does not have total religious freedom or freedom of religion. And my church is now going through the court system. I hate to sound, like I'm being victimized. We're not. We are standing up for the rights of all the faiths. And we're going to the Supreme Court next year. And just as one personal note, if anybody would care to send me a few dollars, not to me, but go to the GoFundMe.com and look for Many Mansions and put a few dollars in, it would help to stay the enormous legal costs. And I'm not trying to take advantage of my position tonight and put in a position on you, my friend, but this is so important to everybody in Canada that the Supreme Court is going to make a decision that we will absolutely be guaranteed religious freedom from the taxman, CRA. And ours is a test case and just going to take a lot of money. But anyway, the course is coming up. I'm on my way to Texas to maybe be down there a lot more. I'll be
all right.
At the end of the year. You're welcome to come on down and take the course. I'll even.
All right, my friend. Douglas, all the best. Thank you. And we'll talk again soon. For George Norrie, George Knapp, Lisa Lyons, Stephanie Smith, Tom Danheiser, Dan Galanti, Michael Cozio, Donna Walker, Chris Burrows, and Greg Bishop. And here in Toronto, Mike Ben Dixon and Alex Glutch. And in Brantford, Scott, Guitar Flicks. I'm Richard Serrett. Thank you for your ears and your voices, your beautiful voices. Until next time, so long for now.